dumps by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say, go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I'm your host, Matt Ritter. With me, as always, is Jeff Cerulli. Wow, we made it to 53.
My prediction. I did it. I'm celebrating. I'm popping some champagne. My 53 number came true. And it's actually, if they rest everybody, they could actually lose the next two games resting everybody if you're playing Copeland and Novak, and they could be stuck at 53.
Secretly, tell the truth. You actually want them to be stuck on 53.
Well, 53, 55 doesn't matter. They're the two seed. It's locked. They're playing the Celtics. So 54 wins, 53, 50. It doesn't matter.
But the most important one would be 53 for you, so you feel like you totally nailed it.
Nail it on the head.
Yeah. You are rooting against them in Charlotte tomorrow.
Look, man, I've always been a Bobcats fan. Everyone knows that. I think they have a lot of upside. Ben Gordon's a good player. He's from New York. I mean, look, I like the Bobcats.
Do they still have Gerald Henderson? Wasn't he on their team?
He's actually not a bad player. If Gerald Henderson was on the Knicks, I feel like you would like him.
Yeah, I actually do like his game. I mean, look, I'm rooting for you. What the hell? You know, let Charlotte have one.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Hawks, it doesn't matter.
Let the Hawks have one. Who cares? Actually, you know what? No. The Hawks game matters. I want to beat the Hawks. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I want Indiana to play Chicago.
Well, what happens if Chicago beats Indiana and Derrick Rose comes back?
Well, here's the thing. I want them to play each other because they're going to wear each other out.
Yeah, it would be a tough series.
I think Indiana squeaks through regardless. Because Derrick Rose isn't going to be playing.
It's not an easy matchup. Bulls Pacers, if it happens, is going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, isn't that good for us? I mean, isn't that the best thing for us?
No, because the Bulls could beat the Pacers. The Bulls can't beat the Heat.
Oh, right, because the Bulls are the only team that can actually beat us.
Well, I don't know, man. We can't play the Bulls. We've lost four times to them. So you'd want the Bulls to play the Heat in the second round, not the Pacers.
Oh, right, because the Bulls are definitely going to lose the Heat.
They're going to 100% lose the Heat. So let's say the Bulls play the Nets. It doesn't matter. One of those teams is going to win. One of those teams is going to lose, obviously. And then they're going to play the Heat in the second round, and either one's going to lose to the Heat.
Yeah, I guess your theory makes more sense. I like that. I guess the only team we really fear is Chicago.
I don't know why, man. I think in the playoffs they beat them, but Chicago just gives the Knicks problems with Thibodeau and the spacing and the defensive matchups. I mean, that was a game. Look, Tyson's out, Kmart's out. They don't have a lot of size, but still, like, you're up 17 and they couldn't seal the deal. They couldn't.
Boy, Nate Robinson really has a vendetta against Steve Novak, huh?
Yeah. He's bullying Steve Novak.
That's such a weird beef.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, look, this guy does something. Who is he? I'm going to make fun of him, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Nate Robinson's the world's smallest bully.
Yeah.
Tiny bully.
I never cared for him when I was on the team. I certainly don't care for him now. I always found him annoying. And that game, watching him run around, was just really irritating.
Yeah, he's a very irritating nuisance. And he has that Napoleon complex. I've never liked him either. You know, I love David Lee, but I hated Nate Robinson.
Yeah, remember the big three?
Yeah. Oof.
Nate Robinson, David Lee, and Channing Frye.
Those were the bad old days.
The big three.
I saw those guys out one time at a club, Channing Frye and David Lee. They were at Marquee.
Okay, what'd you say to them?
I said, can you guys get me in?
No, really?
Yeah, they said no. No, they didn't say anything to me. I just said that to them, and they fell on deaf ears. I was like at the back of a really long line of dudes who had no business trying to get in there.
Did you get in?
No, of course not.
But you were trying to get in.
Well, yeah, you know, but Channing Frye and David Lee walked in like they were the kings of the town, even though the Knicks were like 16-40. And it was like a night before the next game. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
It was a night before the next game, huh?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, come on. Those were young kids on a really crappy team. Wouldn't you be going out?
Yeah, I would, 100%. Yeah.
So anyway, this was an interesting week. You know, we had I think we had exactly what we thought was going to happen this week, right?
Yeah, for the most part. What did we predict the week would be like? Did we say 2-2?
No, I thought we said 3-1.
Yeah, I'm going to look at the schedule. Yeah, if we said 3-1, we would be correct.
I think we just said they were going to lose to the Bulls, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah, what is with them and the Bulls?
No, but you know what? Melo had a shot at it. He had that last, you know, he had that last look. It was not a good look.
No, it was not.
I hate, you know what I hate? These clutch statistics where, you know, they don't really account for what kind of shots you're getting.
Uh-uh.
You know what I mean? Now that's going to go down as, oh, well, Melo's 0 for 1 on the last 24 seconds of a tied or losing game.
And I don't know. Do the clutch shots take that into account? If they're that advanced, the statistics, they don't take into account of, like, what it was?
I don't think so. I mean, not that I've seen. I just think it's going to now get chalked up like, oh, Chris Paul's the best shooter in the clutch.
Is Melo going to get the scoring title?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Well, he's done.
He might be done for the season now.
So OKC has 2 games, right?
Yeah.
I think Durant needs to go for an average of 40 a game, or at least to catch him.
I don't know, man. I feel like Durant, was what the one locked up for them yet, or no?
Yes, because the Spurs lost.
They lost to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, boy.
So I actually think that Durant might be sitting down that last game, too. So I don't. I think he would probably need, you know, 50 or 60. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's 28.7 and Durant's 28.1.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like a big difference, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Oklahoma's a full game ahead with 2 to go, and they have the tiebreaker. Oh, so I guess they still have to...
Yeah, they didn't clinch yet.
Right. Who do they play? Let's look at their schedule. They've got the Bucks. No, they've got the Kings. Okay, so they're going to clinch tomorrow.
Yeah, I would say Melo's done for the season.
Yeah, Melo's done for the season, and there's no way Durant wins the scoring title unless he goes off for 60 tomorrow against Sacramento, which he could.
He could. I'd like Melo to get it, obviously. That'd be a fun thing.
Yeah, I think if Durant gets 60, you might catch him.
I can't believe we've been talking for 7 minutes and 40 seconds now, and we have not talked about Solomon Jones yet.
Who is Solomon Jones, by the way? give us a bio. Give us Solomon Jones' bio.
First of all, we were going to pick up 2 guys, and then it fell through, the deal with this guy Singleton, James Singleton.
Yeah, and, I remember Singleton. Didn't he used to be a Knick?
I don't think so. No, was he?
He was, I don't know what he was. He was something.
Yeah, and that fell through with the contract, so we needed some height, obviously, like, it sucks to cut Kurt Thomas, but Kurt Thomas wasn't going to play for the rest of the year.
No, but you know what? I mean, he gets a ring, right?
If we win, wow. His pro career, he's been all around. He started, he played for Armani Jeans.
Are we talking about Jones or Singleton?
Solomon Jones. Oh, okay. He played Avs for 2 years. He played for the Wizards. He played for the.
Did he get any playing time on any of these teams?
Not really. Well, yeah, Dallas. He played 14 minutes a game in 2008-2009.
Wow.
Washington. He played 23 minutes a game for 32 games.
What was his numbers?
Oh, Washington. He had 6.1.
And rebounds.
You don't want to know. No, 6.9.
That's actually pretty good. 6 rebounds in 20 minutes.
I mean, like, the guy's got no shot. Oh, no, this is James Singleton. I'm sorry. This is James Singleton. Oh, my God. James Singleton.
You're looking up the guy we don't have?
I'm looking up the guy we don't have. This is James Singleton. Oh, boy. Can we edit that now? Yes, James Singleton. No, he was never a Knick. And so he played for the Mavs. And that's why you know him, because he's playing for the Mavs. Now, who's this guy, Solomon Jones?
Yeah, I think I'd like to know. I mean, where did he come from?
Solomon Jones, yeah. He was drafted second round by the Hawks. Hawks, Pacers, Clippers, Hornets, I think the Chinese League, and then the Knicks. And as far as the most minutes he ever had for the game was 17 for 11 games.
Do you think J.R. Smith was the guy who recruited him then from China?
He played on the Hornets. He had 5 points per game and 3 rebounds. Ooh.
Listen, I got to tell you something. If we want to just get into Solomon Jones today, he did a hell of a job.
You know who did a hell of a job today? Copeland. I mean, I don't think Solomon Jones – I mean, he did an okay job on Hibbert, but Copeland played his best game as a Knick.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm talking about the defense. I mean, we were – I think we were the most undersized we've been since the Clarence Weatherspoon era.
Yeah, you're playing Copeland major minutes at the five against Hibbert. And I texted you about it. I said, it sucks when Melo has to play Hibbert and West because those guys just bang.
Yeah, and they banged his shoulder around. I really was not happy about that.
Got a contusion, and it sucks. It sucks that he's got to go against these big guys. You know, you play against the Heat, Bosch is taller, obviously, but Bosch is like a perimeter player for the most part. But these guys, West and Hibbert, they want to bang you, and it sucks. So, you know, it was good that we had Copeland and Jones to just mix it up, but it wasn't, you know, Melo was still taking the brunt of it, it seemed, from David West.
You got to say, though, I mean, defensively, the fact that – I don't know what Indiana is doing wrong, but the fact that they couldn't get Hibbert isolated down low on either Melo or Copeland was really pathetic.
How many turnovers did they have? They were terrible today. George Hill, I think, is garbage. Their best player was Lance Stephenson, who is like a marginal fringe player who's playing well for them.
Yeah, Frank Vogel tried to chalk it up, saying a lot of his guys are tired.
Paul George was brutal tonight. They couldn't hit outside shots. It's their offense, man. That's what's going to do them in. Without Danny Granger, they lose firepower. They're not consistent enough offensively. They're good defensively at times. Like you saw it when they had Melo and they switched and they had rotations and they doubled him. At times, they played really well defensively, but it's just not good.
I mean, but look, this was us with our B squad against their A squad.
Yeah. Well, mine is Granger.
Well, that's their A squad now. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's like counting Amari out for us.
You yeah, Amari's don't... not part of our team at this point.
No, and they said Rashid's coming back for the playoffs.
You know, I don't know how I feel about that. I here's the
he's
thing.
He's not going to hurt us. He'll hit some threes. Like, it's fine.
I think we have to just go in being like, our team is Chandler and, you know, Kenyon. That's our big men.
And Copeland's got to get minutes in the playoffs, too. He's the guy he hits. You know what? Honestly, who hits more consistent outside shots, him or Novak?
Well,
I would say Copeland.
I would say, first of all, Copeland can get a shot off. I mean, you know, Novak can't even get a shot off.
I think Copeland should play over Novak, to be honest.
Yeah. Look, it's playoffs, right? So the rotation is going to get shortened. The thing is about Novak is against bad defenses, he's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, any team that doesn't rotate well – I don't know. I don't know how the Celtics D is going to be. He might get some good looks.
Let's talk about that, man. Are you nervous about this matchup? They have a mental – the only team that would have a mental advantage over us, I think, would be the Celtics because of Pierce and Garnett, and they were the kings of the division and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, man. I feel good. I feel like everyone's coming back. I feel like because we have guys like Tyson and Kmart, it kind of brings the toughness. And I'm not worried. I'm not too worried about the series. I got to be honest.
I'll tell you how I see it, Jeff. And this is for our listeners. Jeff has basically have expressed this feeling that Celtics, you know, sort of have a mental edge over us, and they're a tough out because they have playoff experience. And I've always said, look, that may be true, but now we're fighting their ghosts. I put it this way, Jeff. It's an analogy that I'll say. It's like when you look at your dad and you're a kid, right? And your dad, you know, yells at you. You're like, oh, man, this guy's really scary. He could, you know, he could kick my ass. And then you're a teenager, right? And you're pretty tough. You know, you're playing sports and you're in the best shape of your life. And your dad's like a fat old guy, right? But he yells at you. And you're like, oh, man, he's my dad. He could kick my ass. Now, recently, I look at my dad. I'm like, this guy's a pathetic old man. I could throw him out a window.
Yeah.
That's how I look at the Celtics. I could toss them on their ass on the street, like, no problem. We're grown men. We're grown men now. The Celtics might have been our old—they're like our old dad.
Yeah,
they have a little bit of dad strength, but at this point, you know, we're in our prime.
I mean, we're peaking at the right time. I'm not too worried about the Celtics. I mean, look, if I had to play the Celtics or the Bulls, I'm obviously playing the Celtics. You know, we're not getting Atlanta, and to be honest, I'd rather play the Celtics over the Nets. I think the Nets are a better team than the Celtics. mental edge or not.
Yeah, I mean, look, I kind of like the way this is shaping up for us, right? Celtics, Indiana, Miami, and then, you know, look, the Heat are out. I mean, look, the Bulls are out and the Nets are out.
Yeah, and then you get you're not going to play the Bucks, obviously. They're the eighth seed. You're not getting, like I said, you're not getting the Nets. You're not getting the Bulls, luckily, in the first round. So, and I, again, I think we play the Bulls in the second round. If they did beat the Pacers, that's the way I think we beat the Bulls come playoff time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you've actually sold me on the idea of not wanting to face them. So I'm actually pretty happy the way things stand.
What else can we base it on? We're 4-0 against them. But I will say this about the Celtics. I think, you know, Rondo's out, obviously. Jason Terry is garbage at this point. Avery Bradley's overrated. Paul Pierce looks really slow down the stretch. I mean, he always has the old man game, but right now looks real slow. Garnett's been injured. I don't know. As long as Tyson's healthy, and I'm going to believe the rest is going to be healthy, and it was just precautionary measures, Knicks in 5 or 6.
Yeah, I mean, you got to realize these guys are going to have a week off, the Knicks, to get healthy.
First game Saturday?
Yeah.
Or Sunday?
Saturday.
Is it set for Saturday?
They said tentatively set for Saturday.
Okay.
So, I mean, look, everybody's going to be healthy. Chandler's going to be healthy. Kenyon's going to be healthy. Melo's going to be healthy. I mean, look, we're locked and loaded. I mean, Melo has a lot to prove.
Yeah.
It's a 5-game or 6-game series max.
I want to do to them what they did to us, you know, 2 years ago.
I could see a Knicks sweep. I could see a Knicks sweep.
I don't think it's sweep.
I could see it, but you know, they have pride, maybe, but I don't know, man. I really don't.
I don't like this Boston team. They've been playing shit down the stretch.
Are you a little worried that, you know, Melo just a little forcing a little bit today and, you know, last game?
No, I'm not worried about that. He took a lot of bad shots today, though.
I mean, more bad shots than we've seen him take almost all year.
Yeah, I would say the old Melo is out today.
Although, you know, I mean, you look around, right? Without a big man, they can't really successfully execute pick and roll for Felton.
No.
It's really tough. You can't have the big man, you know, rolling down the middle. We're very limited without – I mean, look, any NBA team that is without a center is limited. Without a big man who's more than 6'8", they're very limited in what they can do.
You have Copeland.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, Copeland's a great shooter from the baseline.
Yeah, he is.
I think that's a hard – not a lot of guys are a really good baseline 17-footer. That's a tough shot.
No, it's an underrated art. It died.
Yeah. But look, let me ask you this. You're saying Copeland gets playing time, right? So the Knicks are going to presumably in the playoffs, right? A lot of teams tighten up their rotation. Do you agree with that philosophy of tightening up your rotation for the playoffs? Or yeah. Do you like the Knicks' rotation?
No, I think you got to tighten it up.
Why?
You got to ride hot. You're riding hot hands. You're shortening. You're playing your best lineups. You're giving other guys more minutes, so there's less minutes to go around. Like Melo's going to play more. You're going to be not as conservative with his minutes. Like you're saving him or something. This is it. This is the playoffs.
So it's basically Felton, Chandler, and Melo are going to play 38 minutes, right?
Yeah, Prigioni's going to play too, and Kidd's going to play.
So Prigioni and Kidd are going to play 20-25 each, right?
Shumpert
will play his 25, and then JR will play his 25, right? 25-30.
Yeah. Rasheed Wallace, like, 5 minutes.
I mean, does that even leave any room for Copeland? I'm not sure it does.
He'll get a few minutes here and there.
Yeah. I mean,
just there to hit shots, man.
Yeah, if you're going to really make a deep run, you have to, you know, you have to have contributions from guys you're not going to expect, and that means Copeland.
Yeah. I mean, look, the guy's proven at this point. He can hit open jumpers. And not only that, he can do something Novak can't do, which is pump fake. He travels once a game, which is annoying, but pump fake and then create his own shot, which Novak can't do.
It's really frustrating that he travels from the 3-point line once a game.
Did you see that where Felton fed him, I think it was, and he went up for the layup? It was terrible.
Yeah. You're talking about the Novak pick and roll?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Novak on the receiving end of a pick and roll was amazing.
Yeah, and then no chance.
I don't think he's hit a layup in his career.
No. He had one earlier where they wanted to dunk it, and he didn't.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Does Melo make I guess Melo doesn't make first team all NBA. He can't, right, with Durant and LeBron.
No, it's clogged.
That kind of sucks because he's, you know, top five player in the league this year.
Yeah, and he's not going to win MVP despite what the Garden crowd chants. Yeah.
I mean, he should be number three in the NBA. Here's the thing, right, and I keep going back to this, right? I feel like not enough has been made of the fact that Melo does not have a second superstar on his team.
Yeah, it revolves around him. It's a one-man team.
I'm saying, like, the fact that we did what we did, and he's, you know, he does not have another superstar. He does not have another all-star. Well, Chandler's an all-star, but, you know, he's a defensive player.
Yeah, it's not like a Westbrook or...
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that's, you know, people don't make enough of a big of a deal. The Knicks are going to win 54, 55 games with a one, you know, one-star team.
I'm fine with that. I'm not going to fight you on that.
Right,
yeah,
I'm saying. So how does that not mean that he's, you know, in the MVP? You know, look, you want to say LeBron and Durant are more efficient, et cetera, and they won more games, fine. But after those two guys, how is he not number three?
If there was no LeBron, I would give it to Melo.
Yeah, I mean, how is he not the consensus number three, the MVP? Everybody talks about Chris Paul. The Knicks won more games. Chris Paul has way more talent across his team.
Clippers have one more game than the Knicks.
Well, we could end up with the same number of wins.
Yeah, sure, but it's, you know, look, the Clippers were good last year. The Knicks were nowhere near as good. It's a one-man team. Durant has Westbrook. Paul has, you know, you can count Blake Griffin and, you know, a pretty deep team.
It just seems odd to me that Melo's not getting credit for this great leap the Knicks have taken.
No, he's still got a lot of haters.
You know, it's like Chris Paul redefined basketball in L.A. Well, what the hell did Melo do in New York?
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. He doesn't get enough credit. But if they make a long run, some credit might start coming his way.
If they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, he'll get some credit, you know. But at the end of the day, they'll still say, "Oh, he's not LeBron, you know. He's just, you know, second tier." I saw him listed in that NBA rank thing as a second tier star.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was
brilliant. No. He heightened his game this year with the 3-point shooting. The post game's really tight. Like, I mean, what else does he have to do?
They rank James Harden and Dwayne Wade higher than him this year in the NBA rank.
Nah, you can't put Wade. You just can't. Harden, you could make a case for if you wanted, but still, Melo's got the inside game.
Could you make a case for a guy whose team won 45? I mean, it's 10 less games.
It's Western Conference. It's tougher.
I don't know, man. I just...
You don't like that. I say that every week, but you don't like
it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it because we beat the Spurs twice. We beat Oklahoma. We almost beat Oklahoma twice. I mean, we beat Memphis twice. The only team we struggled with was the Clippers and Denver.
Got killed by Houston twice.
Well, that's true. Golden State, handled.
Knocked us out.
Who?
The West Coast trip, when people were injured, we got fucked up.
Well, yeah,
on
when
that.
We were injured, yeah. When we were healthy, though, we pretty much handled everybody in the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Knicks are not a product of their East Coast schedule.
I don't think anyone's saying that. But my point was, I would, if there was no LeBron and this is a made-up world, yeah, I think Melo gets the MVP. But unfortunately, there is a guy named LeBron, and the Knicks will have to go through them.
Yeah, that's I think, you know, I think people look at Melo's shooting percentage, they look at his assist, and that's end of story for them.
Look, man, it's fantastic. They're going to win 54, 55, or 53 games, and they sucked for a long time, and they played well at the end last year, but unfortunately they played a hot Miami team who made a lot of teams look silly, including the Thunder. So, you know, this is a great year. It was a lot of fun, and... You know, we can't take this for granted, where we came from. It's dark. It's been dark for so long. And
yeah.
We're going to have – this is the first time you're going into the playoffs with a real feeling that they can make some noise.
I agree. And on that note, I want to – this is our last regular season West Coast Knicks fan podcast. We're going to do them in the playoffs. But I'm actually going to be in New York this weekend, so maybe we'll do another live one after first game of the playoffs.
Breaking news, yeah, I'd be into that.
I think we need to do top five Knicks for the season.
Yeah, and we got to talk. Yeah, we should talk about the playoffs here.
Yeah, All right, well, should we do our top five Knicks of the season right now?
Yeah.
All right.
Of the season.
All right, so I got to give this some thought for a second. So my number five is Jason Kidd.
I'll tell you why.
You put Kidd on any team, that team's going to get 5 to 10 games better. He just sees the court so well. What he did paired up next to Felton, he made the game so much easier. Just, you know, that extra pass to get the ball swung around, it sort of created that three-point culture. It was his sort of like, you know, knowing where to pass the ball, you know, pick and roll. His defense is incredible. You saw him rip the ball away from Lance Stephenson like he was just stealing some kid's lunch today. And the guy's just a winner. You need guys like that if you're going to make a deep run. I feel like Chandler was fighting an uphill battle last year as the only quote-unquote winner in the locker room, and now Kidd came along, and I think, you know, their combined efforts have really, really, really shifted the culture of, like, we expect to win every night.
Yeah, there's just something to be said about guys like that that just win. Everywhere he goes, he won. He went to the Nets, and they became, you know, a great team. And then he went to the Mavericks, and they won a championship. And then he comes here, and, yeah, it just changes the culture. I agree 100% that you just had Chandler last year. Now you have Chandler and Kidd. And it doesn't hurt to get winners. Just get winners in your locker room. And I love the defense today, the rip on Stephenson. Also, when he stuck his hand out, he had like 2 or 3 steals in the lane. He played great, guys.
Who you got?
As number five?
Yeah.
I put Jason Kidd.
Nice.
We copied each other.
Nice. Well, then where's your four?
Who do you have four?
Ah, you snake it.
I put J.R. Smith, a guy who we probably will not be able to sign next season, so enjoy him while he's here. I was never a huge fan of his game, but I've turned around on him because, you know, he's just been, besides Melo, the most consistent scorer on the team. And at this point, he's really consistent. There's a point where if he has a game where he's off, it's going to look weird. As before, it was like, he's hot, he's not hot, he's very streaky. But right now, he's been very good for like a month and a half.
Yeah, know? I like how he said that to a reporter. He said, I'm tired of the inconsistent label. It's over.
Yeah, he's been really good. His step back, Jay, has been really good. And that's something I thought he kind of went too much. And we wanted to see him drive more, and he started to drive. And he was a big part of the streak, you know? He was, when Melo was out, he was the guy carrying the load. So you got to give him a lot of respect this year.
Yeah, my number four is Raymond Felton. He probably might have been ahead of Smith had he not missed so many games. I felt like he started the year tremendously, and then he got hurt. And when he came back, it just took him a really long time to get back to where he is. I still feel like we haven't seen the best of Felton yet. I'm really hoping that he's going to have some huge games in the playoffs. I feel like we're going to need a game where Felton's our leading scorer, and he's just, you know, pick and rolling people to death when Chandler and him are both healthy at the same time. He came in shape. He came in to show everybody, like, F Jeremy Lin. You know, I came to the Knicks in 2010 to be part of this winning turnaround, and he's really grateful, you know, to be here. I love it. I love what Felton brings. He's my number four.
Who's your number three?
My number three is JR for pretty much everything that you said. By the way, that dunk that he almost had today would have been a top play of the night, top play of the week. Did you see that putback?
I love it when he gets in the lane, too, and he just gets going. I mean, how tall do you think he is? What is he, like 6'2"?
I think he's 6'3", 6'4", but, I mean, his hops are incredible. Also, I love that he's rebounding. You know, he's rebounding really well for his size. He averaged 5.3 rebounds.
His defense was never in question, and his rebounding. He's very aggressive, and he's quick.
Yeah. Who's your three?
I put Raymond Felton. Because he was very steady all year. And the thing is, the team went in a little bit of a funk when he was hurt and when he was missing time. And he's just been that, like, steady person to control the offense. He's a bulldog. He's way – you know what I like more about him than Lin? I feel like Lin is more finesse, and Felton's a guy who can mix it up and get in the lane and get the contact, you know?
Yeah, he's got that wide body.
Yeah, and it's just like it's no coincidence that they were playing really well in the beginning when he was playing well. They got in some trouble when he was hurt, And now they're playing really well again, and he's hitting a shot, and he's controlling the offense, and he's been really good all year.
Yeah, I just want him to avoid the snack bar, you know, when he's in Boston on the road.
Well, you were saying he looks a little fat. I don't see it.
Yeah, he's a little chubs.
Yeah.
Who's your two?
Who was your three?
I already gave my three. It was J.R. Smith.
Two, I put Mike Woodson for holding this all together. Desmond took Jeff Van Gundy. Just, I like the accountability. He holds everyone accountable. Come on. What he's getting out of J.R. Smith is fantastic. And also, I mean, he's a real coach as opposed to the guy who was here the past few years. His plays out of bounds are great. I feel like he does a good job with the rotations. I like what he brings to the table. The players respect him. He's a good coach, Mike Woodson, and the Mike Woodson Show.
Yeah, he's had a lot to deal with this year, man. A lot to deal with. I mean, we had to start, you know, James White and Chris Copeland and Kurt Thomas.
That I didn't agree with when he was starting James White.
No, I'm just saying, but the fact that he's even had to do these things is incredible, the lineups that he's had to juggle.
Yeah. Yeah, it hasn't been an easy year. It's not been just like you think of a team where they're playing well, it's the same starting five the whole year, you know?
Yeah, we've barely had our starting five for, you know, consistent amount of time.
Yeah.
So my number two is Tyson Chandler. And, you know, there's only so many times you can repeat the same things about this guy. You know, he's the anchor, you know, changed the defensive culture, pick and roll, finisher. I mean, he hasn't been finishing as well towards the end of the year just because he's been too dinged up. But I think once he's rested, he's got that pick and roll, you know, alley-oops. He brings a lot offensively that we need, putbacks. And, you know, like, he's just a guy that I feel like he gives us an edge at that position. There aren't that many positional edges that we have. I think certainly center is one of them in most matchups that we're going to see.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
And my number one is obviously Pablo Prigioni.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I got to give Pridge some credit, but my number one is Melo. He's my MVP. By my count, he had less than five bad games in an 80-game season.
First Celtics game.
Yeah, I mean, but just an incredible level of consistency from him. I think that's the biggest thing. He didn't take any games off. Even though he had a couple of bad games, he took zero games off.
No, he didn't take off, and I love the this is where he gets my vote over Durant for better score, the putbacks and the inside game.
Yeah. He's a beast down low. Once he's inside, even if he misses, he's gonna score.
Yeah, he's relentless. He gets the rebound, he puts it back. Like he's so good at that. And it's been a real pleasure to just watch him. Just watching a superstar, which we didn't have for a long time, and just watching somebody in their prime. I mean, I was talking about it with you a few podcasts ago about like he's the best Nick per se talent wise and prime. And you know, we mentioned Ewing. And Ewing obviously did a lot of great things, and Ewing was amazing, but Marbury couldn't live up to it. I mean, who else was here recently? Obviously, Sprewell was very good, but not at this level. Houston, nowhere close to this level.
Yeah, the one thing you got to remember about Ewing, though, right, and I think, you know, Melo is yet to get there, is that, A, Ewing's teams won in the high 50s, 60 games at times. You know, they had a good, really good five-year stretch where they were a legitimate threat every year in the playoffs to, you know, to be the team. You know, you came in thinking, okay, this could be our year. This is our first year of the Melo era where we feel that way. I hope next year we come in thinking, okay, we're going to win the championship again.
It's tough when you got LeBron in the conference. That's
no,
the problem.
I know, but you know, look, the Bulls had Jordan, and I felt in 91, 92, and 92, 93 that the Knicks were going to win the championship.
Wait, win the Bull in 92?
Yeah, when the Charles Smith game. I felt we were going to win the championship that year.
Okay.
I did. And, you know, no. we, you know, it was a dogfight when we played them, you know? I mean, yeah, they ended up winning, but, I sort of feel like how I feel now. I feel the confidence that the Knicks are going to beat the Heat.
I mean, like I said it before, I think it's crazy to rule it out. Like, if it goes Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks, Heat, I would say out of every 10 sports writers' predictions, Would you even, you'd get one Nick, right?
No, now you're going to get, I mean, when you get to that level, you're going to get three because it's like the trendy underdog pick, you know?
Okay. All right. So, okay, that's fine. But like, if you think back to the Bulls, the Jordan Bulls in the 90s, and the problem is the Knicks didn't play them a whole lot of times.
Well, they played them, I think, in 89, 90, and then they played them in 92, 93.
The Charles Smith.
And no, they played, and then they played them 93-94, which was, you know, when they got to the finals, but that was when Jordan was gone. That was the Pippen.
Well, that's the thing I was gonna say with Pippen.
Right.
So you played them with Pippen, they won, that doesn't count, and then it was always the Heat.
Yeah, well, Indiana and then the Heat. But yeah, I mean, my point being is, you know, I want us to be a consistent elite team, and this is the first year I feel that way. I feel we're an elite team. I feel
yeah,
we're
man.
One of the top four or five teams in the NBA right now.
It's similar to the Jordan years. You got the Sting in Miami, but the Knicks are a contender. No one can tell me otherwise. They're definitely a contender in the East.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what else is there to say about this first round series other than that I think it's going to be tough. I think Paul Pierce and Melo are going to have a real good battle for the ages.
I hate Paul Pierce. I mean, he's one of the guys we hate the most. Let's go through right now real quick. Okay, Miami-Milwaukee. Is that a sweep?
Oh, absolutely.
You think it's a sweep?
100%.
Okay.
Milwaukee's playing terribly. They've lost 8 out of their last 10 games.
They have been playing terribly. Okay, now Boston, New York.
I think it's a 5-game series.
5 games. I could see 5 or 6. I think it'll be tight all the games up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the Knicks will have a couple blowouts.
I think it'll be like one Knicks blowout, but the rest, like, you know, I could see Boston, like, I don't know. It's going to be a tough game, but again, the reasons I said before, I think New York's so much of a better team. Let's go to Indiana-Chicago if that happens.
Well, if it's Indiana-Chicago, I think it's Indiana in 6.
Yeah, I'd rather play Indiana than Boston. And then Brooklyn-Atlanta is Brooklyn.
Oh, I think that might be a sweep.
Brooklyn's good, man. I think they're, like, decent.
Yeah, I think they're really – I think Brook Lopez is a beast.
He's good. He's huge. He's enormous.
He's a really – I know. He's imposing. I didn't realize how huge he was.
When he dunks, he doesn't even like jump much.
Yeah, he's a real monster, and he's really underrated. He's the best center in the NBA.
Lopez on Chris Copeland, we can't do that.
you know, they have to get through the Heat first. So,
dude, I would love the Nets at least. You know, take them to 6 or something.
Yeah, it's like if the Nets wound them, right? We want them to at least impose a wound on them.
You never know what can happen. I mean, you know, Wade gets hurt, but you just never know. That's why you want to face him later on.
I mean, honestly, if you look at the Nets starting lineup versus the Heat starting lineup, the Nets have a lot of advantages.
You got it's just a different style. Deron Williams is playing great. You got Brook Lopez down low. I don't know, man. I mean, that's kind of about it, but they have a bunch of other scrappy players. Joe Johnson's playing better.
He's playing well. He's actually playing really well. And that guy, Marshawn Brooks, can shoot the lights out.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think he plays much because of defense.
Well, he will in the playoffs. They're going to need some scoring.
I mean, that's pretty much it. And then it would be Knicks, Pacers, and then Knicks Heat.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Knicks Pacers could be a 7-game slugfest, you know? I don't know. Heat Nets? I don't know. You know, I think the Heat will take them. I'm not going to bet against the Knicks. I can't do it. We're West Coast Knicks fan here. You're a Knicks. You're in the East Coast. You're in New York. I mean, are you going to pick against the Knicks? I mean, who cares if the Heat are the better team?
Yeah, it's just about matchups.
I'm not picking against the Knicks. I think the Knicks are going to win the championship this year. I've been saying it all year. It's a down year.
Wow, times have changed, man. Remember when we did that podcast at your sister's place and it was like raining and it was cold? It was snowing, actually, and they were just coming off that shit road trip and they were about to play the Jazz and you're like, oh, I don't know, man. Things change fast in basketball.
Things definitely change fast in my opinions, for sure.
Yeah, and then they started playing well, and here we are talking about championships.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you know, look, the Knicks were always built for the postseason, this old team.
100%. We got here pretty good shape. You're absolutely right about that. They were built for the postseason. You had Jason Kidd. You're adding Rasheed Wallace. They're talking about Camby playing again. And it's like,
yeah, I mean, but the other thing is the Knicks, like, rest is not a factor, right? Because you always get games off. So that's the other part about having old guys. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, because you're going to have a day off no matter what.
Yeah, there's no grind. I mean, there's no grind, you know?
It's a game you're off, sometimes two when you're traveling.
Yeah. What do you think's happening out west, actually? I want to get your take on that. Oklahoma Lakers, is that a sweep for Oklahoma?
No, five.
Even look, I feel bad for Kobe, even though I always ripped him.
Don't care. Fuck him. Hate him.
Really? I hate him too, but I feel bad because he's a hardworking guy. You know, it's like.
You know, he's not happy. You know, he doesn't care. Smush Parker.
Yeah, or Dwight Howard, or Pau Gasol, or Steve Nash, or Steve Blake.
I just think he's a dick. I don't care. I'm not happy he got hurt. Don't get me wrong. Take my words wrong. I'm not celebrating. I just don't care. I think he's a fucking dick.
He's definitely a dick. But, no, I still feel bad for anybody who's, like, you know, works that hard at their craft and then they can't do it.
Sure.
But I think they're going to get swept. And then I see San Antonio right now is either San Antonio is either playing Houston or Golden State. They're both tied right now.
Yeah, I mean, ideally you wanted the Oklahoma City-Houston matchup, you know?
Yeah. That would have been
nice. That's not going to happen, it looks like, now. But that would have been a fun matchup.
You know what's going to be a fun matchup if it holds form? Denver either – it's going to be San Antonio-Golden State or San Antonio-Houston. The other one's going to be Denver-Houston or Denver-Golden State. That's going to be a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, and then if you do have this again, you have Memphis-Clippers, which is a rematch. I got to be honest, I'm picking the Grizzlies here.
You know, that's the toughest one to pick, I think. I watched them play, and the Clippers beat them in Memphis barely. It was down to the wire yesterday.
We're going to slow it down in the playoffs. Hey, man, I said this last year, and the Clippers won, but I'm going to go with Memphis this year.
I don't mind that pick. I never liked the Clippers anyway. I only think the only legitimate threats out west are Oklahoma, San Antonio now.
Yeah, is Fareed out for a while with Denver?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they could be, you know. I'm not sure what his status is, but I don't see a Denver-Knicks finals happening.
I don't think so
either.
I
see Knicks-Oklahoma again. You know, that's the finals that I'm looking forward to.
And so the Knicks are going to beat the Heat.
Yep.
All right, man.
Are you on board for that?
I love that. I love it.
Nice. This is our year, baby. All right. Well, listen, we're gonna do this next podcast after they win game one.
Yeah, we're gonna do a lot.
And I just want to say thanks to all of our listeners, you know, for the support for this podcast. You know, it's good to have a Knicks community, especially out here. I'm over here on the West Coast. It's nice to have a little community of Knicks fans.
I love it, bro.
All right,
it's been this year.
We'll see you in the playoffs.
Peace.